This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Hey, I'm Derek Daniels, State Farm agent here in Northport, Alabama. You already know us as the number one home and auto insurance company in America. So let me show you the team that makes our agency great. This is Red. When you call or stop by, his is the first friendly face that you'll meet. His dedication to our customers is unmatched. He works hard to keep things running smoothly. Here's Victoria. She's one of the best customer service reps in the business, helping our clients day in and day out with great care and attention to detail. And this is Reese, our account manager. He makes sure your policies are written correctly and that you've got the coverage you need. So now that you've met the Derek Daniels State Farm team, give us a call at 205-758-3391 and see how much you can save today. Together, we're here to help life go right.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama, how we doing today on this beautiful hump day? Happy Wednesday. It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are checking us out on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon. We appreciate you so, so much. Hope you guys are having a great Wednesday. Getting ready to have a fun day with us. Mason Woods hanging out with me in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We had our professional camera crew come out and shoot a great commercial for Derek Daniels. So let off the show with that. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Continuing our series, Know Thy Enemy. We're going to be talking about the Florida Gators, the fighting Billy Napiers, the DJ Lagways, and the like, Jaden Ball and them boys. We're going to talk about Florida today. We're going to talk some Alabama topics, like one or two right before we get into the show, just to give everybody, the juice that they need if they don't want to listen about the Florida stuff. So we're going to talk about Alabama's kickoff against Florida State. We'll start with that. Then we'll dive into Know Your Enemy, the Florida Gator style. We'll talk about DJ Lagway, their strengths, their weaknesses, what they're bringing back a little bit, what they might be looking for in 2025. Are the Florida Gators a college football playoff team? Ooh, they got a lot of elements that I like, so we'll see. We're going to talk about that today. We, of course, invite you to jump in and join us on the comment section at JoeGaither6. You can find us there. You can find us at Bama Central. You can find us at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. You can leave us a voicemail at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We would love to take your voicemail if you want to comment on the Florida Gators or on Alabama's kickoff time against Florida State. If you want to comment on... We won't talk about the new spring schedule proposal today. We'll save that for tomorrow and Friday. If you want to talk about Ross Dellinger's article, I mean, he's all over all the changes going on in college football. So lots to talk about today. But with that, we are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Call Derek for all his insurance, for all your insurance needs. And we're here with my friend Mason Woods. You follow him at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine and read all of his great recruiting work. Mason Woods, good morning. Happy hump day.
Oh yeah, it's a good Wednesday here. That was a great way to start the show with a nice new commercial there. I love it. That was the first time getting to see it live like this. You know, you sent me the little preview yesterday, and I got to see it, but that didn't give it the full effect of seeing it live on the show like that. So you know, really happy for that there. Doing good today. You know, I got a little bit of a slow day yesterday. Alabama again lands in the top six schools for yet another recruit. He's a 2026 linebacker, Malik Morris. Bit of an undersized guy, only 6'1", but he's right at like 240, I think, 230. Just going to get in there and hit some folks, I think. You know, I don't know exactly obviously, he is a long time until he makes his recruitment. I don't really know where he stands with Alabama. I don't think he has even an official visit locked in yet or anything. So we will see what happens there. Maybe we'll get some updates here in the next, you know, in the coming weeks. But did name the tight end in his top six.
All right. I know you had a little bit of a day yesterday. You and all your recruiting reporters all buzzing for Jackson Cantwell going to Miami, and then he's throwing your boy, he's throwing y'all's lead dog under the bus, saying me, saying Pete Nakos is making up lies again about money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Pete Nakos. I don't think he made something up. You know, I don't think anyone really at that level in this business is making things up. I think it is all off of credible information they've received from someone. So. You know, someone's lying here, and I don't know that it's the guy whose job it is to report this information.
Yeah, that'd be, oh boy, you start trafficking in lies, then you find yourself in some hot water pretty quickly. Yeah. I think. But good luck, Jackson Cantwell. Sure. If you're not paying attention, it's fine. Jackson Cantwell, number one offensive tackle in the upcoming class, 2026? In the 2026 class, announces he's going to Miami, kind of had it down to Oregon, Georgia, and Miami.
Yeah, and had considered Missouri for a while, but they got out of the race pretty quick.
I don't think Missouri could have afforded the $5 million a year that was allegedly offered to Jackson Cantwell. No. That is insane. I hope that is allegedly, and I hope it's wrong.
I do too. I sincerely hope that is not an accurate number figure that we've been, you know, has kind of been reported over the last day or so.
Gross.
Yeah, that is gross. Say what you will, like, the kid's still a high schooler. You know, it's just he can be as big and as strong as well. Like, he's still a 17-year-old kid in high school.
You see it in his face and in his voice.
Come on, man, what are we doing? You are actively wasting money if you're trying to project all of that onto a 17-year-old.
Oh boy. Well, Jackson Cantwell goes to Miami. Mario's all happy. Great. Let's talk about an actual Alabama headline before we play Know Your Enemy. Yesterday, ESPN announces a lot of, ESPN and the ABC family of networks announce a lot of kickoff times for the first week. And how that affects you, the Alabama fan, is at 2:30. Hot. At 2:30 on that Saturday, August 30. Mm-hmm. On ABC, so you don't have to have any cable. We love that.
Do like that.
Love that. Local packages for everybody. You can see it, ABC 3340 in the area. You will be able to watch Alabama and Florida State. So it's a triple header. Syracuse, Texas first. So no. Syracuse, Tennessee, the other orange school. Syracuse, Tennessee first at 11, Alabama, Florida State at 2:30, and then we close the night with LSU at Clemson.
I know Florida State's bad, but I wish they'd given Alabama the night game here. And I understand that just based off of records heading into this season and kind of the last few years, the LSU Clemson game is probably a better matchup for the national audience. But man, I really wanted this game to be a night game in Tallahassee. Wanted to hear, you know, you see all the lights, the fireworks and everything. It's just not going to be the same with it being during the day.
Our friend Kim Rankin covers Boston College on SI, and they were at Florida State for the opening weekend last year. I think it was Labor Day weekend. And homegirl says, "Oh, y'all have fun. It was only 101 at kickoff for a night game. For a 6 p.m. game, but for when I went, only 101 degrees. Praise the Lord for a Tuscaloosa summer to get those young men ready, because it's going to be nasty at 2:30 in Tallahassee.
Air's going to be thick. You're not going to feel, it's going to feel like you can't breathe outside. It is going to be miserable. You think they've got misters, was just spraying hot mist out onto the fields right now, getting guys ready? That's what we need. That's what Kalen DeBoer needs.
Shoot, in Tuscaloosa, you don't much need that.
Not much, but
that late January, that late July.
Yeah, it's taken a while this year, and knock on wood, because I don't want it to get here. But I will say, here we are at May 14th. I've yet to really feel the heat too bad yet. There's been a few days, here and there, but for the most part, we haven't really gotten it yet. Feels like it's taking a little bit longer to get here. Hopefully these guys are going to be ready.
It'll get here. June, July, early August. It'll be nasty. Yeah. It'll be gross in Tuscaloosa, as it always is. So the boys are kicking off at 2:30 against Florida State on that Saturday. You can make your plans. Let us know. I'm just curious. Are you planning to go? If you were planning to go, does the kickoff change affect your plans at all? That sort of thing. Are you excited about it? I know I've got a lot of friends who tell me, Joe, Doak Campbell Stadium is beautiful. Doak Campbell Stadium is awesome. And I know they've been doing a lot of renovations. So I am looking forward to getting down there. Doesn't much matter the kickoff time for me. But yeah, I guess it would have been more fun to have it Saturday night in Tallahassee.
Yeah, if I could have all 12 games at night, I would take all 12 games at night. It's just college football at nighttime with, you know, the under the lights.
5:30. I want to make my own kickoff time. Like, guys, I know we do 3:30 or 2:30 and then 6 or whatever. 5:30. The Alabama kickoff time, we are setting a precedent. That's what we need to do. We need to put our foot down. Get the Alabama,
when Alabama plays.
The Alabama network, right? Right. We're gonna make our own network and sell all our streaming rights ads, right? People would fall all over themselves to broadcast Alabama football. The problem is the SEC wouldn't let us do it. But
they didn't let Texas do it.
Exactly.
Had to get rid of the Longhorn Network.
You say, hey, at 5:30 we play. Y'all come to Tuscaloosa and play. When we go over there, we're starting at 5:30.
They could do it.
That's the perfect time.
I'd be all right with that because, you know, you get a little taste of daylight still probably, especially early in the season. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get to watch the sunset as we get through the first quarter probably. That'd be great.
Then you're in bed by bedtime. Everybody's home in bed by bedtime.
Yeah, to me, there's just something extra special about being under the lights. It makes every game feel more, just that much more important.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. You don't have to upgrade your cable package yet to watch the Crimson Tide. You can watch them on ABC on August the 30th. It's going to be a lot of fun to take on the Fighting Gus Malzahns. Let's see. I want football 2025 schedule. That's what I want.
Ooh, not an easy one for the Gators.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so let's do it. Let's do it, Mason Woods. How are we going to break this up? Are we going to go just like we did last week with Texas? Know thy enemy. We're going to do an overview, just kind of random thoughts, adds, subtractions, some strengths for Florida, some weaknesses for Florida, and we will look at the schedule and determine where they will be at the end of the year. So, the end of the year, Florida finishes last year, and everybody's like, okay, Florida enters last year's season, and everybody thinks Joe thinks that Billy Napier is going to get fired. I think that Billy Napier was going to get fired, but then ended the year on a 1-2-3-4 game winning streak, beating LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State, and Tulane. All right, you lost back to back to Georgia, and I mean their schedule last year was disgusting as well, but. You know, started slow, lost to Miami really bad. Miami ended up being fairly good through the year.
Sure.
I think Billy Napier deserves a ton of credit for last year. And I think that at least from where I was 12 months ago, I need to eat some crow and basically say he's grown a lot. I mean, the attention for me last year, it was, lack of attention to detail. It was guys jumping off sides. It was double number penalties. It was procedural issues. It was all kinds of stuff going on in Florida that I didn't really find encouraging. And then I also probably fell into the bait a little bit with the is Steve Spurrier breathing down his neck with the office right down the hallway, that sort of thing. Who's really in control of Florida? You hear all kinds of stuff about Florida and their recruiting, and is Billy in control of their recruiting in the NIL, or is someone else? Is the booster club? Are they really driving the recruiting? That sort of thing. Ultimately, though, man, just weathered all of that, and I think he's got Florida in a good spot.
I tend to agree. I was basically in the same boat as you about halfway through the season last year, where it's like, man, Billy, they are going to fire Billy Napier at the end of this year. He's not for the long haul here in Florida. But you know, they go on that stretch the back half of the season. You know, you did lose the one game to Florida there, but you finished with, you know, like you said, four straight wins, and the only loss in that back half of the season there is a game where DJ Lagway goes out with an injury. So, like, you get this almost grace of, like, yeah, well, they could have gone another way.
They had Georgia on the ropes.
They did.
And he goes out, man. They would have beat Georgia, I think.
I think they might have too. And you know, we're having this conversation even more so if that happens. Where like absolutely, Billy Napier saved his job. I think he has him in a very good spot. You know, a lot of returning talent. We were talking about it right before the show started. Like an incredible, like insane amount of returning talent, more so than almost any other team in the SEC, probably. You have your quarterback figured out. There's no battle going into this season. You got your guy. He's taking the first team reps. He's going to be taking all the first team reps. You have to feel good about that. I think there's a lot of things to really like about this Florida team.
It's going to be schedule. That's going to be the hardest part is their schedule. And we'll talk about that as we keep going on this conversation. But I just think that Billy Napier. Is Billy Napier the Nick Saban disciple that everyone forgets about, that everyone, you know, writes off? Let's see. Who are you in the SEC? You're automatically thinking Kirby and Sark, boom, boom. Sure. And from there, how far down the Saban disciple list do you get into? You think, oh, yeah, Billy Napier coached for Coach Saban as well.
He's on down there. I mean, Mario, to be fair, though, I don't know that he's really earned a place at the top of that list yet, though.
No.
You know, you go 10-2 this year or something like that, sure, we'll bump you up there with the, maybe not quite with the Sark and Kirby level, but you're in that maybe B tier. I think right now, I mean, if you ask just, you know, the average person, he's probably down in that, like, D tier of, you know, just like, oh, man, yo, no, I remember him, yeah.
Sark, Kirby, Mario Cristobal, let's see, you've got Jeremy Pruitt doesn't count anymore. He's in high school.
I was about to say Jimbo, but again, same thing.
Jimbo's out. Yeah. Yep.
Lane.
Okay. Yeah. Lane's got to be ahead of Mario. Yeah. Doesn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah. Lane ahead of Mario. And so I've got Napier sitting five right now, holding him in my thumb.
Lanning.
I mean, 1-2 years.
Does that really count? Do we really count that one?
Is Lanning. Yes, I guess if Lanning is actually an offshoot of Kirby Smart, then he's definitely an offshoot.
We did not talk about that video on this show, but that's why Nick Saban retired.
Tell him
the video of, I don't even remember what the recruit's name was now.
He was an edge rusher. Yeah, I don't know
edge
his
rusher,
name.
You know, 4-star recruit, whatever.
That did not have swimsuit on.
Did not have a swimsuit on. Is in his underwear, lounging poolside with two women who I don't know if they were a part of the video, if they were just there. And
I think they were props.
That's what it seems like. That's what he uses them like in the video. He just has them there to be by his side. He stands up in his underwear, once again, a 17-year-old kid, a minor, not an adult. And he says something, da, 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 you know, you ready, coach? Camera pans, and here's Dan Lanning in his underwear too. Rips.
No, Lanning got a swimsuit on. Real.
All right, good. At least he has. But pops the top, jumps in. They jump in the pool together, and it's so strange. Yeah, hold. Oh, it's just so like that is why Nick Saban retired. Those are the reasons. Those are the things that push Nick Saban out of this game. The Brian Kelly's getting on there and you know, grinding on his recruits on the spinning platform. Dan Lanning jumping in shirtless with a kid into a pool. Those are the things that knocked our lovely coach out of this game.
Well, if Coach Saban would have made him put swim trunks on, it was compression shorts at best. It was my boxers is what it looked
made,
like to
made
me.
Made me very uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes.
Should have made Dan Lanning very uncomfortable.
This video is cool. Good idea. I'll jump in the pool. Just let's get you some Oregon swim trunks. Let's get you some black swim trunks where your privacy is not exposed to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I don't really even understand the jumping in the pool.
I mean, just excited.
Sure, I guess. Maybe just throw on a helmet or something. You know, you are a football player. I don't know. Very just weird. I don't know who's. I hope that that was the kid's idea.
Right.
I'll say that.
Coach, I'll commit right now if you'll jump in this pool.
I hope that that was not, you know, someone on the social team or something that got him to do this video. I hope that the kid said, hey, can we do this? You know, and they just went to his whim. Well, yeah, did not like that video. Really did not like that. They just, these coaches are. and sometimes, not all of them, but a lot of times, make fools of themselves to get these recruits. And it almost feels like the recruits are just kind of taking advantage of the coaches to point and laugh at them so that they can make them do whatever they want.
Oh, who else did we were missing? Mike Locksley, Brent Key come to mind. Kirk Cignetti.
Oh, yeah.
Cignetti. Charles Huff.
Butch Jones.
Oh, gosh. Lance Taylor's at Western Michigan.
Former coach. Dable. Does he count?
Yeah, he's in the NFL, but, you know. All right, the rest of these guys don't count for me. The rest of these guys I don't care about.
No Freddie Kitchens?
Well, they're not, they're not pertinent to this discussion here. Not pertinent to Dan.
Man, all these former coaches. I'm assuming we're looking at the same CBS Sports article here.
Yes, Will Backus, CBS Sports, Nick Saban coaching tree. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think Billy Napier moves up that list a little bit this year.
I didn't know that Matt Eberflus played for Nick Saban.
Yes. Kent State or something. Yeah, great. Right. Nothing rubbed off. Nothing rubbed off.
Oh, Florida Gators.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Let's look at their strengths. Hold on. There we go. All right. Overview done. Let's see. I don't want to talk about their transfer portal because I want to include them in the weaknesses because of one of the guys that they got. I think was to mitigate a weakness. We'll see. Do you got anything on transfer portal? Any portal guys that you thought really? I mean, they brought in a quarterback who to back up. They brought in a quarterback to back up Lagway. Let me see.
He wouldn't shock me to see that quarterback play a game or two this year, just because of the way that Lagway kind of plays. You know, he did get knocked out last season for a game What was it, the last second half of that Georgia game or something like that?
Harrison Bailey from Louisville.
Yeah, I would not overly excited about any of these transfer portal additions.
I mean, you bring in Michael Carraway from Southern Miss, Kofi Asare's edge rusher from UMass, okay. Tommy Doman, punter from Michigan, and Jamichael Sturdivant. That's the one I want to chat about, wide receiver from UCLA. I don't know that you made a huge splash in the portal.
No, I don't think you really did.
But you did end up with a pretty nice recruiting class. Ended up the composite rank nine rank recruiting class. I think this is Billy's been recruiting well for the last handful of years. You've got a roster that has 2, 3, 4. Let's see. I can find this out quickly. All right, 2025 it was at 9. 2024 was at 7. 2023. Was at, come on baby, load for us. We were on a roll. 2023 is at 13. Okay, so we slipped out of the top 10 just a little bit, and Billy Napier was there. Let's see, in 2022 he was at 17. So he's top 20 classes, four straight top 20 classes.
No five stars last year, which, you know, so who cares, but worth noting, I think. Oh.
We don't want those prima donna bums who
could. Big class, though, 19 deep.
We don't want those prima donnas who cost us lots of money.
Sure.
Jackson Cantwell, $5 million. It wasn't about the money. Sure.
Okay, buddy. Did well in the recruiting trail. Not doing overly well for next year, now that I'm seeing it. Only have one commitment for the 2026 class. A little bit behind the eight ball there. We will see.
They're trying to see if Billy Napier is going to keep his job after this very, very difficult schedule. Oh, let's look at the strengths here. All right, biggest strength to me, we probably are right on it. I think both the trenches are nasty. The offensive line, oh.
Yeah.
What did Josh Pate say in that clip? 5,000 snaps returning?
I think that's what it
was. Oh!
Preposterous. Like, it feels like not even a real number.
That's a fake stat, Josh. you made that up. Late kick, Josh. No, he did not. Just want to make that clear. He did not.
Yeah. I mean, it is a lot of big boys up there for Florida this year. I don't really know what else to say other than just like you said all you can really with the just how much of that is returning talent. Like, they are returning so much experience on that offensive line. And that is so extremely valuable in college football.
Austin Barber, redshirt senior. How would you say this name? Kenya Harris? Nigel Harris? Nigel. I bet that's how you're going to say that. Nigel Harris, junior left guard. Jake Slaughter, senior center. Our friend, our old friend, Damian George, right guard, senior. He's like
redshirt senior transfer. Golly, senior graduate transfer.
He's like
seventh year.
He's been in college forever. And then Bryce Lovett, redshirt sophomore, is your youngest player on expected to start. Yeah. Expected to start. And so you look across the entire offensive line and, oh, DJ Lagway, we struggled to keep you upright a little bit last year. You got hurt here and there learning to play as a freshman. But how about this brick wall to stand behind and maybe try to guide this team down the field?
Yeah, you think you feel pretty good about it. You know, obviously DJ Lagway was electrifying last year and a lot of flashes here and there. You know, now looking at his, he was not quite as electrifying as I remembered him being. He only threw for 1,900 yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 picks. So he did struggle a little bit, but
he was a roller coaster. Yes, it was really, yes. Really good or exactly. Not so hot.
So you saw the flashes of it being really, really good. And, you know, with just better protection up there, I think you kind of have to at least hope that you're going to get more of the good side of DJ Lagway this year.
Really, though, this offensive line looks good, so good that I would maybe take the ball out of DJ Lagway's hands a little bit and just say, Jaden Ball, how many carries can you take? Towards the end of the year, he ends up taking 22 carries against Kentucky for 106 yards, 17 carries against Georgia for 64 yards, 19 carries against Texas for 88 yards. My man's had 5 touchdowns against Kentucky in that game. Excuse me. 1 against Texas. He only had 6 carries against LSU, but popped off for 65 yards. He ends up the year 673 yards and 7 touchdowns. But as you look at his game logs, the production just goes up, tick, 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 tick,
yeah,
tick.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, 673 yards, but he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. Like, the guy is, you put the ball in his hand, he's going to make plays. He's that kind of running back, he seems, at least. I think you are a bit, I think you're right where that Florida kind of has the opportunity this year to say, all right, DJ, you don't need to make all the plays. We can take the ball out of your hands. We can let the other guys work a little bit, especially this running back. And then when we need you to do your thing, we need you to do the DJ Lagway thing, you can go do it.
And if Jaden Ball gets a little banged up, you're still bringing back Jacoby Jackson. 95 carries last year, 509 yards, and 7 touchdowns also. So together they were at, 223 or so, 230 carries roughly for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns that you're bringing back.
Feeling pretty good about that, I would think.
You probably want especially to get more yardage out of that, but, I mean, Montrell Johnson's gone. So
I mean, just the average. Montrell Johnson, or, you know, Jacoby Jackson averaging over 5 yards of carries. Like, I think it's just a matter of getting the ball in their hands more. Just give them more opportunities, and they're going to get the yardage.
I think Billy Napier is going to try to punish teams this year and say, you know, it may be 3rd and 4, and that's when DJ Lagway has every you know.
Got everybody on their heels.
Right. Every play at your disposal. Am I handing it off? Is it a play action? Is it a screen? Is it a bomb? Is it a slant? Is it a hitch? It's only 4 yards. How the heck do I just defend the 4 yards? Like, I think they're going to be hammering teams and trying to get DJ Lagway into, oh, it's 3rd and 5. It's 3rd and 3. It's, yeah. Keep him out of, oh, you're throwing into triple coverage, sure, buddy? Because the defense is just as nasty to me. The
defense is extremely nasty. You know, it starts, I think, maybe Tyreek Sapp is an edge rusher here. 7 sacks last year, 13 tackles for loss. Reading here is he had PFF gave him the highest grade amongst edge rushers by a Florida defender since 2019. So, yeah, like,
the seventh best edge rusher returnee, according to PFF, in college football.
Stud.
Hmm.
And then you got Caleb Banks, defensive tackle, Cam Jackson. I was looking through the roster earlier, and these guys, a lot of these guys are young, but they do. They do have replacements for the, you know, near 400 pound, like, it's just space eaters. They've got 2 freshman Stephon Shivers, 399, and where was the other guy here? I know I had him. Sebastian Scott, sophomore, 36. Like, 2 guys are just gonna eat up space. This team is very good. Like, this Florida team is so good, so talented. It's just going to be, can they get through their schedule? Like, they are very, very good.
Yeah, it's going to be up to you, Billy. How do you coach this team week to week to week? Yeah. Get them prepared.
I mean, you got all the pieces.
Yeah, a lot of noise. What is this Aaron Childs kid that I'm seeing all kinds of articles? Redshirt sophomore Aaron Childs, a spring football linebacker, apparently was called an alien. Called an alien last season as a freshman. Says he's going to get a lot of run. I'm trying to see a recruiting. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see if he was just some big time recruit the class before. Now, a four-star recruit, but I've got three or four different articles about him popping during spring, too. So,
only 6'2", 235, so not physically like that unique, I guess, but seemingly had a pretty good freshman season.
Right. So, a Florida strength coach called linebacker Aaron Childs an alien before his freshman season because of exceptional work in the weight room. With Shamar James leaving for the NFL draft, Childs and Miles Graham will have a chance to make an impact on the defense this season. Graham had 30 tackles and one sack. Childs had 23 and one sack. He concludes. Great. That was just like one long quote. All right. Great. All right. Man, I think this Florida team. It's somebody you're gonna have to be watching.
I think there's not enough people talking about how good this Florida team is gonna be this year. I would not shock me. You asked if they're a college football playoff team. I don't think that'd shock me one bit if this team's in the college football playoff this year. A lot of it's gonna rely on the quarterback play you get from DJ Lagway, probably. But as long as that's competent, I think you have all the pieces elsewhere to be a real good team.
Florida's a interesting team program in my little sphere, just because I know so many Georgia fans and so many Tennessee fans, and it's like the mutual hate they have for Florida. I was birthed in the Georgia household, and so Florida hatred was always right there with me. Watch out, friends. I know you're all listening, my friends and family, Georgia and Tennessee fan friends. Be careful. Florida may be back.
They just might be. Now, I guess this moves us into maybe the next part of this, the schedule, if you want to do that.
I want to do weaknesses first, because okay. I got at least one weakness that I don't know. It less of a weakness, more of a question mark with wide receivers. You end up going to the transfer portal and you get, I lost my tab. Which one is it? I've got so many tabs open right there. Yeah. Florida football commits. You got Jamichael Sturdivant, who's come in from UCLA. And Sturdivant, when you look at his numbers last year, not hot. 22 catches, 315 yards, and two touchdowns. You're like, okay. But as a redshirt freshman at UCLA, 65 catches, 755, and seven touchdowns. Next year, 36 catches, 597, and four touchdowns. So he's done it in college. I think you go out and get this kid Sturdivant because, like, when I'm doing the preview, I'm saying, I know this name, Eugene Wilson. I know this name. Fella only played like four games last year and gets hurt and gets himself a medical red shirt. Dude was one of the better players, one of the better wide receivers in the SEC the year prior. I'm not saying it's a weakness. I think you've just got a lot of questions. How does Eugene Wilson return from his injury? Can Michael Sturdivant kind of come in and allow these freshmen? Because you got freshmen Dallas Wilson and Vernell Brown, who are very like highly touted recruits, supposed to be, Mr. Be-all, end-all, top-end wide receiver types. Well, you're going to have to give them some runway to get on the field. I think that's Michael Sturdivant's job, and you really want Eugene Wilson to just bounce back to his prior form. I think it's a question mark, and I think it's really the only question mark I see on their offense.
Yeah, I mean, you did lose one of the major contributors from last year's team, Chimere DK, to my star. We will see very fast. You did, but yeah, he was your second most productive guy last year, over almost 800 yards and two touchdowns. So you have to replace that somewhere. And you obviously Eugene Wilson, hopefully getting back to form.
Only 19 catches last year for Eugene Wilson in a couple of games, in four games. Let's see. But his career is pretty okay. The year prior, 61 catches, 538 and six touchdowns, averaged, also took six carries for 55 yards. So my man's averaged 8.9 yards a touch.
I mean, it really looks like Florida honestly only threw to two people last season. They threw to two receivers. Now, if that gets expanded this season, I would imagine it's going to open that offense up a whole lot. And I think probably last year it was mostly a result of only feeling comfortable about two of the guys.
So we're just going to load the box every time we play Florida? We're going to load the box, in the SEC championship, Damani. Look, bro, Eugene Wilson, he's been talking. And then you just load the box and say, come on, let's go play in a phone booth.
That might be the way to go. You force DJ Lagway to, if that's the route they want to take, beat you with his arm and do it. You know, throw over Damani Jackson, throw over Dijon Lee, throw over Xavier Brown. Throw over all these guys, these tall, lanky, alien-like guys. Yeah, go ahead. I think that's probably the way you play this.
You just stumbled, but that's going to be a stumble for me. When Xavier Mincy and Xavion Brown both are playing, because I think they both get a bunch of playing time this year. It's going to be Xavier, because they're both Z-A-B, Z-A-V, right?
I think so.
No, he's X-A-V.
Is he X-A-V?
I have to check Xavion every time.
Now I'm getting Xavier and Xavion.
No, it's it is X. No, it's Z. It's Z.
Okay, so we got
they're both Z's.
Oh, Z A V Z A B Z Z.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I'm struggling here.
You got it.
Already struggling.
All right, so let me hit one. Let me tell everybody about Warren Tire and Auto, and then we'll talk about this.
So my name is Russ Warren, and I'm one of the owners here at Warren Tire. We started in 1961. My granddad. On University Boulevard, so we've been kind of a staple here in the Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama community since then, and so thankful to be in the third generation. And we have two locations now in Tuscaloosa. We're right here at the 15th Street location right now, where we just do tires, brakes, and alignments mostly here. Our university location does oil changes, engine work, air conditioning work, front end work, the whole nine yards. And so any of our two locations, you can come check us out.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
And we appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program. We're live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios doing Know Your Enemy, the Florida Gators edition. We talked about strengths. We talked about maybe a weakness or a question mark. Obviously, where Billy Napier is in the SEC. Let's actually talk about the season and this schedule. Woo! Disgusting. Disgusting schedule.
I just feel bad for Florida fans. This is a tough one.
What do I see? I see a 4-game block, a 3-game block, and a 5-game block. And none of them are nice. Well, okay, yeah, none of them are nice. None of them are nice. Disgusting. Billy, you need to go have a conversation with your athletic director. But I guess, like, how do you mitigate this? But because you are going to have Miami and Florida State on your schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, there's really no other – look, bravo. This is what a schedule should look like, yeah, Greg.
We're sitting here talking about how disgusting it is, but, like, this is how every team should be.
Yes! We going to go find us two other rivals outside of our conference and just bake in there. And, you know, we're going to find us the next biggest school in our state, in USF, and, you know, play them. Like, this is great.
Good on you, Florida.
Oh my God.
I hope it works out for you.
I hope it does too. We're opening the Florida Gators. We're open with LIU.
You know what? Do we hope it works out for them, or do we hope that they're one of these where they're right on the cut, right on the edge of making the playoff? And then it's, well, their schedule was so tough, so we're going to bump them in. And then it sends a message to everyone. That's what we need for the health of the sport.
Amen.
We need a 9-3 Florida right on the edge. And it's like, oh, they had that great schedule. We got to put them in there.
Getting the nod over the team that played four Western Tech Carolinas. So you do get the cupcake right off the bat. Great. I have no problem.
Why does Long Island even have a team? why are we playing? Why are we making them come all the way down here?
Money. We're paying them. We are saving the Long Island program. We are bankrolling the Long Island.
You told me they couldn't have played Penn State.
Penn State didn't want to pay them any money.
You're probably right.
So you're opening with the cupcake, no problem. Sure. You're 1-0, great. But like, you're just jumping right into it from there. Yeah. USF is not nothing. I mean, it's not a cupcake.
Should win that game,
right?
but it'll be tough.
We've seen that before.
Yes, we have.
We've been late in the fourth quarter with USF twice now.
Yeah. What's the blank? Correct.
Matt. Correct. No. Not,
what is the coach's name?
Golish. Matt Golish.
Yeah, that guy's he's feisty.
I like him.
I do lot. Too. He's got a fire about him that I can respect.
And so then after you deal with feisty little brother who just wants to prove themselves, USF, you go on the road to Death Valley. You're at LSU in the third week of the year before LSU can fall apart, before LSU can, oh, we don't like Brian Kelly and everybody's nyan-nyan at each other and, you know, we don't have a defense yet anymore.
Yeah, and then
if that's not, and then you're you join you remember your buddy Carson Beck, you're going across town to take on Miami.
Now, my worst home field advantage in college football, for Miami, but still, you're playing at Miami's home. They're going to be the most comfortable they can be there, and yeah, it's going to be a tough Miami team. I think,
and they wrecked you last year. And I think they're going to be fine. They're going to be
Lost a lot of production off.
Lost a wide receiver in Isaiah Horton.
Lost Xavier Restrepo as well. Obviously lose Cam Ward. Elijah Arroyo is gone. So you lost a lot of pieces off of last year's offense.
Reuben Bain's coming for you.
So
though.
Electrifying. But yeah, I think Miami, I trust Cristobal. I think he's a pretty good coach. I imagine he'll have them right back in, you know, kind of where they should be.
Oh my gosh. And then, so you get a week off. Okay, so, I'm just chalking this in my head. Are you three?
What, we think 3-1? I'd probably give them 3-1 here. I think they split one of those, LSU, Miami.
Yeah, 3-1. I'll go with you. I was going to say 2-2, but then, no, I think that's right. 3-1. Your week off, and then my birthday week, October 4th, you bring in the Texas Longhorns. At least this year, you get them at home. And I think when we talked about Texas last week, we said that was their first big road trip of the year.
Yeah.
All right. Gators are welcoming Arch Manning into the SEC.
This is your chance to, like, you know, shell shock them. Hey, we play big boy ball around here.
Start building some momentum, and, you know, we're in the swamp. It's still October, so it's still nasty and hot. Yeah. SEC is going to put this game at 2:30. It's going to be gross. Perfect.
This feels like a perfect storm for Florida to get a big win. I am, just for the sake of this argument, going to probably give the nod to Texas. But I think that it just kind of, you know, I don't know what Texas schedule looks like, but I imagine they're probably 4-0.
We did it last week.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Everything runs right out of my brain as soon as we get through it.
I know. Texas last week. Ohio State.
Oh, that's right.
You're not undefeated. You're at Ohio State,
cupcakes.
Three pooey games.
Yeah. So you're both 3-1. This feels like a good Billy Napier signature win. Like I'm putting my flag in the dirt here. Florida's here.
Steve Sarkisian, you guys got to go all the way back to I'm the real Saban assistant around here.
Yeah.
But just like I would expect for Florida, after a big win, go out to College Station and
precisely
lose.
Lay an egg. DJ Lagwell for 4 picks.
Yes.
Defense will give up 500 yards to Texas A&M.
Mike Elko is just going to be like dialing it up, baby.
Yeah, he's just going to be in, you know, flow state over there, just locked in.
Yeah, because let's see. Yeah, Texas A&M. Okay, A&M's got a deal. When we get to them, they got a pretty decent schedule before. They're at Notre Dame. They got at Auburn. They got Mississippi State before the Florida game. Tough. But you smack Florida State at home. You smack Mississippi State at home the week before the Florida game to build momentum. And Florida's coming off a big win. Major letdown. Now, yeah. I'm seeing that so clearly.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the whole picture is right in front of my eyes right now. I'm seeing it. That feels like exactly what would happen here.
Then you come back home and you're like, dang it, we let one get away. Welcome back. Get right game against Mississippi State.
Yep.
63-10.
I feel so bad for Mississippi State, man. They just get to be everybody's punching bag. Uh-oh. Let me get a get. We need a get right game. Good thing we have Mississippi State coming up. That's an SEC program.
You need Mississippi State or Arkansas on your schedule.
Vanderbilt has moved out of that range. It's now Kentucky. You can probably throw Kentucky in there too, which Kentucky is on this schedule.
You get your week off and you build up. I think they're going to beat Georgia. I got good that about feeling. That too. After last year and just the rivalry, I think they're going to be enjoyed. Sorry, Dad. I love you. I love you, Mom.
You get them at home too. Like that's
well, no. Oh, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, which. We'll see.
That's a weird situation in and of itself. I would like to go experience it in Jacksonville, but I also have a little bit of a y'all should just play this game at home.
I have always thought they should just play it at each other's fields year after. I think it's very dumb to do the neutral site thing for any two teams that play any rivalry game. I've never really understood that. But yeah, whatever. It's cool. You know, you get the tradition and everything with it, I guess.
Split stadium. You know, that's cool. All right. So you beat Georgia. I'm saying they're going to go and beat Kentucky on the road. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is going to want a piece of you after what happened last year because you basically kept them out of the playoffs by upsetting them. That's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
November 15th, Lane Kiffin and Billy Napier.
Lane's had that one circled. He's been thinking about that when he's doing his Pilates classes in Oxford here, you know, when he's going on his podcast circuit. It's right there in the back of his mind, Billy Napier.
You think he looks at Billy Napier and like, because I don't think Billy Napier is a bad-looking guy at all, but I also don't think that he prioritizes, you know.
No, I know what you're saying. I think Billy Napier is much more of just a
football.
I'm going to roll out of bed and go coach a football team.
Yeah, I'm going to splash some water in my face. Yeah. But, you know, nothing wrong. Sorry, coach. Not talking any bleep at all. But, like, I bet you Lane Kiffin thinks he done moisturized.
Yes. Look at his shoes.
He don't take care of it. Look, he's been wearing that same belt for 5 years.
His pants fit terrible.
And Billy's like, I'm just trying to call plays.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's sitting there doing those classes like, oh.
And it works for Lane, you know?
Getting his Botox on.
Yeah.
All right, so I think Lane gets his revenge. That's my third loss.
Three losses now.
I have either LSU or Miami. I have at Texas A&M, and now I have at Ole Miss. And then you get Tennessee at home. You lost to Tennessee in overtime last year. Tennessee is going to lose this game. That's just the way it goes with this rivalry away from Knoxville. Pretty sure, without looking it up, it's been like 20-something times in Gainesville. Actually, why don't I look it up? Because it's fun to dunk on Tennessee. Wikipedia.
Great website.
Florida, Tennessee. Let's see, because I want to see how many times in a row they have lost in Gainesville. Let's see. Oh, no. Tennessee won the last one in Gainesville. Oh, no, that's wrong. That's wrong colors. Orange, in this case, is for Florida. 1, 2, 3, 4,
16,
5, 6, 7. It just goes on and on and on and on all the way to at least 05. Yeah, 03. Oh, no, 03 is the last time. 03 is the last time that Tennessee won in Gainesville. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Sorry, Tennessee fans.
Hey, you know, it took them a long time to win in Bryant Denny.
When's the last time that they did?
Oh, wait, no.
They didn't beat us here. No. Each of their last two wins has been in hell.
Yeah, I was thinking last year was, yeah.
Yeah, in Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, I forgot. We skipped the year.
And then we stay at home and have Florida State. And I think that Florida State will be improved, but
improved is like 6-5.
I have no real faith in Thomas Castellanos. I do think that Castellanos is good enough to beat Alabama the first week based on quarterback run and Gus Malzahn sort of thing. But like in the grand scheme of can Castellanos
I don't know that he makes it the whole season.
No.
Yeah.
He's not going to take them to an ACC title kind of range.
Mm-mm. No, I agree with you.
He's good enough to get one good win, to get a fluky, you know.
He is exactly just good enough to do that, which is going to be so frustrating because that game is going to be a nail biter probably. It's going to be
24-17. Yeah. It's going to be 17-17 late in the game, and you're going to say, Ty, are we going to give him another drive, or is it time to go to Keelan Russell? You going to give him another drive?
Ooh.
Oh, I know you got a Ty Simpson thing. I don't want to jump off that. That just triggered me. Make sure we hit that because. All right, so I've got them. What is that? 9-3.
9-3. That keeps Billy Napier's job. That gets you in the playoff, I think.
Nine and three.
I think they get you in the playoff.
Yeah, your win over Georgia, that's your big banner win. And you're and saying you got we're, over, LSU, over Texas Miami too.
And Texas.
We're in the playoffs. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
What are you looking at about it? Probably a 10, maybe? I don't remember exactly how it all broke down last year.
Well, the dang seedings get messed up with the rankings because they don't reflect. Yeah. From yesterday's conversation, that's the only thing that needs to change. Not the expansion, not automatic playoff baked in. No, just fix the seating first. Let's fix the broken parts first before we add to it.
Ugh.
All right, Florida Gators, 9-3. That's a good year.
That's a good year for Florida. That's putting Florida right back in the national conversation where they have, you know, kind of been on the outside looking in for a while now, it seems. And, you know, I don't know that you're necessarily banging your chest if you're a Florida fan saying, we're back. But, like, you're feeling pretty good. You're feeling pretty good.
That's the Florida Gators. Know your enemy, Florida Gators. How about we roll the dice next week on the Georgia Bulldogs? We'll keep going. We'll try to go with all the contenders we can before. Sorry, Mississippi State, you're last, bro. You're last. You're the last team I want to talk about.
It's a fight between them and Kentucky.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
And like, Arkansas, honestly. Arkansas, Taylen Green excites me a little bit.
And Pittman's at least.
Yeah,
a ball
I like Sam Pittman.
Right. He at least, come on, guys, we'll fire you. I don't think Mark Stoops, has been coasting on easy mode. Yeah, and I don't have any issues with Jeff Lebby at Mississippi State. I think he's a good coach, but it's just like the situation's just dog water.
Yeah, what are you
just
do
not
there?
Good.
What are you gonna do there? You got no money. You got no resources. You got no facilities.
Hashtag come to the SIP.
Yeah, you got Lane Kiffin up there doing
right in your rear end.
It's not a good spot to be.
So I think Florida's in line for a fun year, in line for a good year. Watch Billy Napier go 5-7 and have everybody go, what happened?
Yeah, make us look stupid. Please don't, Billy.
All right. Well, that's been a lot of fun. Know your enemy. We talked about the Florida Gators. Let's transition real quick. And, well, we'll tie it in. Mr. Brett McMurphy gives Circus Sports over unders. So I said 9-3 for Florida. Oh my gosh, I need to go to the window right now. Florida's win total from Circus Sports. It will take me, 8 months to cash in? 8 months to make money? But I'm making money on Florida at 7.5.
Come on. That's crazy.
I mean,
that feels disrespectful.
It's just because of the schedule.
But that's disrespectful.
Well, what other? Okay.
Got to give them at least 8.
Let's just be. Okay, Joe took a risk saying they beat Texas, but I also take a risk saying they're going to lose to A&M. Flip-flop both those, or give them both a loss. You lose to both of the Texas teams, you're down to 8. I guess the Georgia loss, or
maybe they're losing both LSU and Miami.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for this Florida team to win less than 8 games.
I agree. I think that they're built correctly, and I think that if you just don't turn the football over, don't shoot yourselves in the foot in some of these games, you're at least going to be there.
I think so, too.
All right, which is the biggest surprise? Alabama 9.5, Georgia 9.5, Texas 9.5.
Those make sense. Yeah, I think it's going to be very similar to how it was last year where the SEC beat up on itself a lot, especially towards the end of the year.
I'll tell you, the easy one to make money, this is stupid, without even looking at it, without even looking at this schedule. I'm typing it in right now.
Auburn?
Yes!
Auburn with 8.
Auburn at 8 wins?
Yeah, that seems a bit much.
Oh, hold on. Oh, I mean, I just, there's got to be something I'm missing here. Okay, Baylor, at Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, Georgia, Missouri, at Arkansas, Kentucky, at Vandy, Mercer and Alabama.
All right. I had 4 SEC wins in that you just rattled off for me.
Mercer. All right. Non-conference. Mercer, South, Ball State. You got 3.
Mm-hmm.
Are you giving them the Baylor one at Baylor to open the year?
I'll give them Baylor, sure.
All right. There's 4. At Baylor to open the year. And then you said they're
probably getting right to 8 then.
You're pushing.
You're getting right at it.
So you need 1 Gus Malzahn. I didn't game plan this week because I recruited this week.
It's going to be tough. I'm not putting any money. I'm not touching that Auburn line.
You're not going the under just for the fun?
Maybe.
And you're pulling for the Baylor Bears.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, looking at the schedule, that might be the perfect spot for it because I think there's probably 4 SEC wins in there, and then it's a pretty cupcake schedule otherwise.
You lose to Oklahoma. You lose to A&M. You lose to Georgia.
Yep. I think you're beating Kentucky. You're beating Vanderbilt.
Missouri.
You're beating Missouri. And you're probably beating Arkansas.
No, Pavia's going to get them.
You might be right. Yeah, I mean, what did they beat them last year? They almost beat them last year. I can't remember. I think they did.
Yes, they did. They got both teams
That's
in the state.
I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Auburn.
Stranger things have happened.
All right, so we're live in the Dairy Daniel Studios. We've had a lot of fun today. We want to close it down by reminding you to go see our friends at Warren Tire and Auto. They are the Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple for all your automotive care since 1961 in Tuscaloosa. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Russ Warren would be happy to take care of you. All you got to do is see him on 15th Street, and he would basically work on your car himself. They're the go-to place for all your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to serve you: on 15th Street for tires, brakes, and alignment, or University Boulevard for front-end work, oil changes, electrical issues, really everything else other than tires, brakes, and alignment on University Boulevard. You can make your appointment today. Call them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. Call them on the University Boulevard location, 205-758-2739. We love and appreciate Warren Tire and Auto for sponsoring the program. Mason, let's finish with a little Tyler Booker, a little Ty Simpson, a little Dallas Stars action.
You a hockey fan?
If it's on TV in the playoffs, I will stop and watch. Am I a hockey fan? Hard, like, I don't want to misrepresent myself, because there are some hockey fans that love it. Chris Walsh, our boss, loves hockey, big time into it.
It's hard for me to get into.
Yeah, I don't want to misrepresent myself just because I enjoy it when it's on TV, yes, period.
That's my thing.
Yeah.
Every time I've watched it on TV, I've had a great time. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I will never seek it out. I'm never being like, oh, when are the Stars playing? I need to get, like, it's just, it can't reach that threshold in my mind for some reason. Anyway,
Tyler Booker's apparently loving being drafted in Dallas. Seems like, or I read, he did all his pre-draft workouts, like made Dallas kind of his home base, and it just kind of became, he says, a God thing. God just, you know, got you, buddy.
That's awesome.
Which is, yes, amazing. Praise you, Lord. Amazing. Well done. That's one of your good guys. I appreciate you taking care of him. The reason that he has made the rundown is at the Dallas Stars game on Tuesday, Tyler Booker gets on the camera as, hey, it's the new first-round pick for the Dallas Cowboys. And Tyler Booker doesn't give you just the smile and wave, like, hey, guys, happy to be here. He does for a second. Smile, and then he seizes the moment and just rah, 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 rah. Just I don't want to yell in the microphone, but just standing up, banging on the glass in front of him, hyping the crowd, getting everybody rah, rah, up for the Stars. And if that was not a cool moment, and it was, he just had to take one little peek and see who was sitting next to him. What in the world? Ty Simpson getting hyped up with him?
Does his own teammates not like him? He can't hang out here in Tuscaloosa with his own team?
Well, there's no...
Got to go hang out with his old teammates? That says something to me. I don't think anybody likes Ty Simpson.
No!
If anybody liked Ty Simpson, he wouldn't be jetting off to hang out with old teammates in Dallas.
Bray Hubbard likes him. They've got camo together.
They weren't hanging out. Where were they? What was Austin Mack and Keelan Russell doing this week? I bet they were in their playbooks. I bet they were up at Mal Moore getting a lift in.
Tyler Booker was getting a lesson on leadership from Tyler. Ty Simpson was getting the Tyler Booker leadership lesson.
I don't know. Typically, I would like it if my starting quarterback was friends with his teammates.
He is friends with his former teammates.
Former. We've got no evidence to indicate that Ty Simpson is friends with any of the current people on the Alabama roster.
Bray Hubbard. They were in the photo. The camo photos. Just
that means that don't mean nothing. You couldn't even see them.
Just their faces. No bodies, no torsos.
How am I supposed to know they were in that picture?
It was superimposed.
They were perfectly hidden. This is a neat moment.
I thought it was cool.
I'm going to give it to Ty. Hey, cool. And I'm glad. I like seeing athletes just be friends and like be normal people outside of sports. It's always fun.
I did think it was kind of, I don't want to say cheesy, but like that's the only word that comes up, that they were both decked out in Stars jerseys. Like,
that did feel a little on the nose.
Like the PR team just said, what size do you wear? What's your favorite number?
Yeah, I think that's probably exactly what happened. He got him a free, Tyler Booker got a free ticket. They said, you can bring a friend. And they showed up and they said, here's two jerseys.
Yes.
But hey, regardless, a good clip. I would, you know, and we probably never will see it because it's just the way that it goes. But I would love to see any bit of actual, like, outside of football interaction between Ty and the team, his teammates that he's going to be playing with this season, because he's not going to be playing with Tyler Booker anymore. I know that they're good friends. I know that they're best friends, and, like, that's cool. And we all are happy seeing it. And, you know, you got your crimson goggles on. It's awesome. But I would like to see him interacting with this year's team, maybe a little bit. Just give me a taste of it.
Yeah, he was at the NFL draft with the Departees.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yay, Alabama. We need to see 20 questions with Ty Simpson and the wide receivers.
Yeah, something.
We need to see tic-tac. We need to see hacky sack with Ty Simpson and the wide receivers. I know he's a golfer, so let's put a foursome. Simpson, let's put Simpson, Brailsford. Simpson, Brailsford,
Ryan Williams,
Ryan and Ryan and Wilkin, Ryan, and is just somebody juicy, somebody that's going to keep the
Olaus.
Yeah, put them all on the golf course. You guys are playing 9 holes.
That'd be sweet.
We're just going to follow you around 3 holes. Come on,
you got a lovely new facility over there you can use.
Yes, that's perfect. 3, you know, that's a 10-hole course, technically. Go play the 9 and then make some silly wager on the 10th, like, sure. You know, whoever loses does some sprints.
They never do it, but I'd love to see, like, wide receiver versus defensive backs, like 3-on-3 basketball. Everybody would just play too hard and they'd hurt each other probably, but that would be electrifying.
Yay, Alabama.
You talk about some intensity, you'd probably see some intensity there.
Yeah, a lot. The problem is you probably have to use language sensors.
Certainly. Yeah, that's fair.
But that's okay. That's okay. That's part of it. That's part of the competition. It's part of it. All right, we've had a lot of fun today, Mason. I appreciate your time talking about the Florida Gators. Next week on Know Your Enemy, we're going to do the Georgia Bulldogs. I will check in with Miss Katie Windham tonight, see if she wants to join us tomorrow to talk about the Alabama softball NCAA regional right here in town against the Virginia Tech Hokies and two other ancillary programs are in town. I forgot them already, but she's got them. We'll see if she wants to chat with us tomorrow. We'll talk about spring schedule, new spring schedule. Ross Dellinger teasing some OTAs, college football OTAs. The coaches would love it. The coaches would absolutely. I would love it. I would love it because you could actually do something in spring by you do OTAs first, you get all the basic install out of the way, and then we can actually do some football in spring. Yeah. I would love it. So we'll talk about that tomorrow and so much more. We had a lot of fun with you guys right here in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. We appreciate Derek for sponsoring the program so, so much. Call him 205-758-3391. They are upstairs right now. They'll get you on and off the phone, give you all the information that you need, and give you local coverage that will take care of you when things go wrong. And unfortunately, things will go wrong. So call Derek Daniels, 205-758-3391. We had a lot of fun. Subscribe to the show, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. We will talk to you tomorrow on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.